Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is a HeadGum Podcast. This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy. And you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and so I watch them so that you don't have to. And ooh, baby, Henley's back.
Oh my God, she's back. We promised you. We hoped and prayed. You hoped and prayed.
You guys, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. It feels like coming home, baby.
It's just like coming home.
It really does. It really does. Right before this, Sammy pulled up a background image of probably the most like horrifying thing you could possibly see, and it made me feel so happy. I've never been so happy to see this freakish little ghost demon monster,
nasty faced, creepy.
I love it. I literally saw it and I was like, oh, it feels good to see that.
Yeah, today's movie is going to be quite the welcome back for Henley. Going to really make her see what she's been missing.
Okay, so I need to tell you guys why I've been out. To tell everyone. Obviously, you guys know, but the listeners don't. Big news for me. I'm pregnant again. Woohoo!
Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby, for real.
Oh, baby.
Real baby.
Oh,
real baby.
Oh, baby, for real. I'm about to be in my second trimester, but my first trimester has been very difficult. I have hyperemesis gravidarum, which...
Such an intense name.
It's really a very intense name. Well, there's been more press about it recently, so now more people know about it. But for anyone who doesn't know what it is, it's a condition during pregnancy that's it's severe nausea and vomiting constantly, literally constantly. So I have been since February 23rd. I remember the date when it happens. Since February 23rd, I've been literally like bedridden with this and not able to function normally at all. So sick, the sickest I've ever been in my whole goddamn life. And this is a thing that happens to women and it's just not talked about enough. People don't even know it's like, even doctors,
I feel like,
kind
people
of dismiss
barely
it.
Talk about like regular pregnancy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just really wild that women have to deal with this and kind of like brush it under the rug and keep quiet about it and pretend like it's just a normal part of,
not just normal, but like magical. Like the
yes,
face that
yes,
is presented to the world of pregnancy is like, it's the most magical time and it's wonderful and beautiful. And it's like, shut the fuck up. It is straight up body horror.
Absolutely.
And stop pretending anything otherwise.
And stop making women have to like live their lives while they're doing this.
That's the hardest part.
Deeply fucked up. And we're not even going to get into forcing people to stay pregnant because I won't be able to get off of it, but like,
oh, absolutely devastating.
Devastating. You can't function. Like, you haven't been able to function, but the world expects you to, and that's so horrifying.
It's so horrifying, and I just feel very grateful that I'm living even now, like just in the year 2023, because truly it hasn't been until essentially the last couple of years that they even started prescribing women medication to help with this. And so now it's approved for women to take certain medications that are for like cancer patients, for people who are on chemotherapy, but they wouldn't let women take it for a long time because there wasn't any research and they were, you know, for everything they're worried about pregnancy.
The fetus is the only thing that matters. Mm-hmm. You can suffer and be near death for 9 months, so long as you produce a fetus.
Exactly. And so it really hasn't been until very, very recently that they've realized that it's fine and safe and it's okay. So I am on medication that helps me a lot. I'm still definitely not 100%. And I just am so grateful to you guys for listening to me while I've been like going through the hardest time in my entire life. I mean, I've never felt so sick in my whole life. It's been shocking and a wake-up call to how grateful I am for being healthy most of the time, and for anyone out there who is dealing with chronic illness or any kind of illness that's impacts your day-to-day. I feel for you. It is so hard. Mm-hmm. It's so hard. Yeah. So I like really didn't want to cry again. And I'm not going to. I already cried when I first got on the Zoom with you guys and just saw your faces and just burst into tears. So I was hoping I was all cried out. But anyway, this has just been a very eye-opening experience for me personally. And a lot. So that's a really fun way to start the podcast. Apologies for immediately diving right into it.
Don't dare apologize.
I'm just so grateful to be back with the two people I love the most, besides, you know, Tim and Silas.
Fair. We love you so much, Henley. I'm so happy. You.
And we've had, I mean,
you're back.
So many people. Sorry, listeners, to all of you who are like, where's Henley? Is she okay? You all were so concerned. It was very sweet and very kind. We felt very guilty not to be able to be like, guys, we promise it's okay. We'll keep you in the loop just as much as we possibly can. It's just, man, it's no fucking joke producing life. Imagine.
Women are the best.
Yeah.
Women are great. And I love you guys. And
I love you.
All I want.
Love you.
Literally the only thing I want is to hear about this movie. And also to hear about the scary things that happened to you this week. So please tell me. That's all I care about.
I don't got much. Certainly not anything on that tier. We are going to New York next week. All of us. I mean, you're already there, Henley. So we're coming to you. We have a mutual friend getting married in New York City. And packing has unraveled my brain. Like, I think I'm still kind of brain dead from the last quarter of school. I've like packed and repacked and tried everything on and been like, great, I decided. And then be like, wait, I cannot figure out packing for New York. And
packing is hell.
It is taking hell up on earth. All the space in my brain. 100% of the space in my brain is, well, okay, it's all New York. I'd say 50% of it is packing. And the other 50% is being so stressed out about the amount I'm going to consume in New York. Mm-hmm. I just keep being like, okay, but we're going to go out every night. We're going to drink every night, but we're going to have to see people every day. And like, but I'm going to have to drink every night and we're going to be going to bars and restaurants and I want to eat and drink everything. But like, how am I going to eat and drink everything? Because then I have to still do stuff. And like, it's a week long. And I'm like the stakes of it all feel massive. And
it's like when I went to Vegas for 5 days for my 21st birthday, we don't want to have a situation like that
because that ended with Sammy flinging herself gleefully out of a plane hoping she would die.
No, it wasn't.
It was fine. It was welcome. Death was welcome.
If I died, it'd be okay. I was hollow, empty, nothing inside. This was skydiving, by the way, not just a regular plane.
Not just flinging herself out. It's just New York is like, it's impossible not to just consume everything in sight because it's New York and it's like everywhere we're going to go is going to be awesome. We're seeing friends. Mm-hmm. Every bar is so cool. And I'm just like, I've just A, been like, well, what do you pack for that? And B, how will I do it? And the thing is, like, we'll just fucking go there and chill out and probably you'll be fine. And if you're not, like, you can just like take it, like just take a beat.
Well, one thing that is particularly difficult right now is New York weather makes no sense this time of year.
It can
swing wildly. It can be snowing and then 75 degrees a day later.
But to be fair, it's kind of like that in LA right now. It's fucking snowed here. And today it's probably in the 70s again. It's been beautiful. And then it's been raining. And so I feel just confused all the time.
But the thing is, you know, I can do confusing weather with my whole home and closet.
Right. Exactly.
I can walk back inside and be like, you know what? Actually, I do need a sweater. You know what? Actually, I don't need this sweater. But in the big city, and in a carry-on suitcase, what the hell am I supposed to do? So that's what's up with me.
Yeah, well, I'll bring some beta blockers for you.
That'd be great. I feel like I need them like now. I need them to pack.
Yeah.
Maybe you need one now. Maybe you need one now.
Smoke a little weed and pack my suitcase.
Ooh,
that could be fun.
It could be fun.
Sammy,
what's up with you?
Are you in the same predicament?
You know, I haven't really even thought about packing yet. I leave a couple days after Emily and somehow it's just been not on my mind. But I'll probably have a last minute panic. That's usually what I do, is just panic night of and then throw a bunch of shit in a bag and hope that it's what I want when I get there. And I kind of always in the back of my mind, I'm like, worst case scenario, I go and I buy a whole new closet there. Like, well, if in case of emergency, I can go buy clothes.
I need two full outfits and a haircut.
Yeah, we are going to do
this
that
weekend. So you are going to need to go shopping anyway with
That's
me.
True.
Perfect.
Leave a little space.
But no, my scary thing this week is equally low stakes.
It's not a competition.
But I have been overwhelmed by, okay, first of all, Yellow Jackets started on Friday.
I was going to ask then, you about Yellow Jackets. Yes.
Then it was Lee Pace's birthday on Saturday.
My God.
And then we saw John Wick Chapter 4. And today, as we're recording, this is Sunday, and Succession starts tonight. And I've just felt like it's my whole personality happening in one weekend. I've just been really overwhelmed by all the things that I love just compounding into 2 days.
Yeah.
And it's made me just realize what an insane person I am, because to the John Wick 4 screening, because as I mentioned, that was on Lee Pace's birthday, I wore a Lee Pace shirt, and there was a genuine part of my brain that felt guilty that like Keanu was going to be mad that I was like not wearing a Keanu or a John Wick shirt. And
like,
I'm
Keanu would be there and you would meet him and you'd be like, well, I'm such a huge fan. And he would be
just
like,
he would just like know somehow. Yeah. That just, like, he would
betray him
it.
In a way.
I betrayed him. And I'm also in the process of getting my Matrix tattoo removed. And it like made me feel really sad. Like, as I was like, I need to, and I like went online and started looking at merch for like the Matrix. I was like, I need to make up for this. I need to support my number one guy, because I feel like
forget.
My love is being spread too thin this weekend, and somehow he's coming out on the bottom. And oh, I just don't ever want him to feel
like he can sense. He's like, uh-oh.
Less important to me.
He woke up in the morning and was like, something feels off.
Something feels wrong. He woke up in the morning. He's like, oh, it doesn't feel good today. Why is that?
Yeah. I mean, we're all energy. We're all stardust.
All and
what I'm feeling over here, he's feeling over there. And I just want to only be a source of joy and brightness in his life. So anyways, yeah, scary thing is that's what I spent my weekend thinking about. Oh my God. But on that note, a touch of haunted housekeeping, or maybe just like fancy housekeeping. Rich person's housekeeping is that we are doing a bonus podcast that will be accessible on our Patreon, where we will be talking about Succession each week, every Monday. New episodes on Mondays. They won't be recaps. They're just going to be chats.
The Succession discussion weekly. TSDW.
Ever heard of it?
Ever heard of it? I'm so amped. It's the only thing that is getting me through the day, is thinking about getting to do this Succession pod with you guys. And I cannot believe it premieres tonight.
I know.
I'm so excited. Ooh. And yeah, so if you want to hear us talk about Succession every week, why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. We have a lot to say.
Yeah.
You can go to patreon.com/TSDW podcast and join the tier called CEO of Waystar Royco. That's where you're going to want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we can't wait. Can't freaking wait.
I also want to say, to not leave him behind, John Wick Chapter 4 was amazing. So.
See, again, I'm just. No, it's okay. As if he's an afterthought for me.
He's not. You were doing good business, but I just wanted to.
I'm spread too thin. It's just like all my favorite things happening at once so that I can't fully gush about.
Yeah. It's a crazy weekend to have all of that. It's so much.
I'm overwhelmed.
Well, here's the thing. We'll go see Chapter 4 again, and then we can give it its own moment, see it in a slow week.
Yep. That's a great idea.
If anybody's wondering if they should see it, don't wonder.
The answer is yes. See it in IMAX?
Yes, see it in IMAX. It's so good.
Absolutely excellent.
Mm.
Another of your love,
Bill Skarsgård. Sorry, just cut this shit out, but sorry, there's another person you love in freaking John Wick.
He's like ranking even lower. It's just too hard to throw him in with
there's too much
the other
too much
people in this weekend.
What's a girl gotta do? Also, he's just regular. He ain't Pennywise, so it's harder for you.
Yeah, that's different. It's different. I'm partial to Pennywise, as you guys know. Oh god. Okay, let's talk about this week's movie.
Yeah,
which you guys are not going to like.
Oh no. But we loved Evil Dead 2.
For our very nauseous friend.
No.
This is gonna be tough. So Henley, you tap out if you've got to. I understand, because this week's movie is Evil Dead, the 2013 Evil Dead. You guys have been asking for us to do this like basically the whole 3 years we've been doing this podcast, and I'd been pretty reluctant to do it.
Why?
I think because I associate remakes as just being bad and gross.
That makes sense.
Oh, sure.
Like the Texas Chainsaw one you really hate, Henley.
Yeah, the origin of my hatred of horror movies.
Yeah, and The Hills Have Eyes, which we did that one, but it's just like they're just like nasty in a way that's not fun.
Mm-hmm. Right. It just feels like grotesque.
Just for the sake
grossly
of
violent.
Being like, whoa.
Right. Yeah.
Pushing as far as they can.
But I'm happy to report that I had so much fun in this movie. I fucking loved it.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
I loved it so much that afterwards I was literally floating around my apartment giggling. Like, literally.
Yeah, can you believe it?
What? And I didn't lead with that.
Oh my god.
You have to watch Evil
Dead
and it'll cure all your ills.
Definitely not.
Absolutely,
absolutely not.
Levitating in
really?
Glee. Oh my god. Yeah, you guys you guys are not gonna feel this the way that I do.
I'm gonna be absolutely glued to the floor.
Way down.
You're gonna sink
into the earth below.
I would say there are several categories though. There's the movies that you absolutely hate and you know we're gonna hate them too. But then the movies that you love and you think that we're going to hate, that's an interesting subsection.
It is interesting. Mm-hmm. And okay, so I feel like the original Evil Dead trilogy is kind of where the origin of our conversation about how some movies we recap are worse to hear about than to see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because remember, obviously, in the Evil Dead, the original Evil Dead, so many fluids, lots of fluids.
Oh,
and but then we all watched Evil Dead 2, available on our Patreon if you want to check that out.
And it was fun.
And you guys had a good time. Could see that it was
silly,
more silly and more fun than you were expecting. And I'd say this movie combines the two basically 50-50, where this is absolutely going to be worse to see than to hear. Basically, everything I'm describing is what you're picturing. Like, it is as bad as it sounds, but it still keeps some of the silly tone of the original. And there's like a lot of references to the original trilogy. So that's fun. And it just, you know, I just really appreciate a movie fucking going this hard. It goes so hard. It does. There's absolutely no restraint in any of this movie at all.
Oh my God.
Oh man. It was the pleasure centers of my brain. The like dopamine was absolutely flowing. I was like, oh my God. Yes, yes, yes. If you think someone's not getting cut in half hot dog style in this movie, think again.
Oh my God. Wow, wow, wow. No. And, okay. And so part of the reason why we're doing this now too is because we're going to have to cover the new
yes.
Evil Dead, which looks fucking awful to me.
Yeah, I was really dreading having to watch that. But now after watching this, I'm excited for
wow.
it. Except for the cheese grater part. Something about a cheese grater goes too far. Yeah, there's a cheese grater in the Red Band trailer of Evil Dead Rise. And yeah, cheese grater crosses a line for me. And I don't know why.
That's interesting.
Because like, Blender's
great.
Blender is one of your favorite.
See, it's Blender, don't make me choose. Good. But
okay, let me tell you a little bit about Evil Dead. It was directed by Fede Alvarez, who also did Don't Breathe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And written by Fede Alvarez and Rodo Saviguez, based on, obviously, Sam Raimi's The Evil Dead. But I kind of like how, even within the Evil Dead original trilogy, they're not, like, super concerned about being, are they sequels, are they remakes?
Yeah, they just sort of, like, making the movie.
We're in a world with the Necronomicon, and that's kind of what links these films uh-huh. together. It is starring Jane Levy, Shiloh Fernandez, Lou Taylor Pucci, Jessica Lucas, and Elizabeth Blackmore, and Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell were producers on it.
Great.
It's available to rent for $3.99. And yeah, I'm just really delighted that I've finally seen it. I really enjoyed it.
I'm very happy for you, and I'm not happy for
us. Yeah, me too. I'm going to try to put myself in the mental state of levitating with happiness.
Yeah, imagine that.
It's. I feel like similarly to how I felt at the end of John Wick, of just having like 3 hours of violence. Like just, I think it's the same part of my brain that's just like.
That makes sense.
I love this feeling.
I was thinking about that during John Wick, that like, there was a time in my life where that was not what I wanted to see. And yeah, now I see how you could get there. Cause like in the crazy violent sequences, I'm just like, oh! Like I'm having so much fucking fun.
Yeah. And, cause it's also, I feel like the creativity of the gore in this is a lot of what is cool about the Evil Dead franchise. And so much of the 80s versions was like Sam Raimi being super inventive and, doing things all practically, which always is awesome and looks better. And so, yeah, it's just thrilling to see violence come to life like this.
Wow.
You know that scene in horror movies where someone's alone at home, cooking or whatever, watching TV, and a killer is outside watching them through their huge open, enormous, completely clear windows that for some reason have no blinds or coverings on them whatsoever? Don't let that be you. You need privacy. You need 3-Day Blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of custom window treatments in the US, and right now they are running a buy one, get one 50% off deal. Just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no obligation quote the same day. And if you're not very handy, that's not a problem, because the expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install, so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros. I feel like sometimes when you hear the word blinds, you might be thinking of broken, loud, dirty dorm room blinds, but I was just looking at 3 Day Blinds' Instagram, and I can assure you that is not what we are talking about here. These are good-looking blinds, shades, shutters, etc. They have thousands of options for any budget or style, no matter your unique need, whether it's motorization, to home automation, room darkening, or child safety. They're going to have something that's going to look gorgeous in your home, and it's going to keep those prying eyes away so you don't have to live in your very own horror movie. Right now, you can get 3 Day Blinds buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. For a free, no charge, no obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. That's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. One last time, that's the number 3daiblinds.com/too scary.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
What a scary thing to say, but it's true for me. I'm sorry. This movie has a 63% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 57 on Metacritic, and a 6.5 on IMDb. Hmm. Budget was $17 million. It made $97.5 million. Some trivia for us. It was originally NC-17, which is not surprising, and I'm actually surprised that they got it down to R, and I wonder what was cut.
Is the new one going to be NC-17?
No, they don't really.
No, I think
it'll
be
R, because yeah, I don't think NC-17,
like, nobody would, they would lose so much money.
Theaters,
nobody would do that.
Yeah, there's like,
how can you have a fucking cheese grater and still have an VR?
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. This was Fede Alvarez's directorial debut, which blew my mind. It's so, he had directed a bunch of shorts before this, but this is directed very well. As I mentioned, Sam Raimi, it had has some trademark directorial stamps of that kind of POV, the fast, like, demon through the woods POV shot, and those kind of canted angles. And so I guess Fede Alvarez had a good guidebook of some directorial choices to make, but I think he did a great job. Park Chan-wook turned down directing it, which I just thought was interesting.
What did he direct?
Thirst and The Handmaiden.
Mm.
Oh, so good. Oh, I love The Handmaiden so much.
You do. I remember talking, but we haven't done either of those. Maybe we should. Did we do them? We didn't.
Well, Thirst is on our list. The Handmaiden I wouldn't call horror.
Horror, okay.
But Thirst has been on our list. So maybe we'll do that one day.
Mm.
And this movie holds the record for the most fake blood ever used. I know we've had this conversation before. We've probably even said this fact before.
Yeah.
Because
previous films.
In It Chapter 2, that was, they used 5,000 gallons of fake blood for that one scene. And in The Shining, they used 3,000 gallons of fake blood in the elevator scene. Guess how many gallons of fake blood this movie used?
Oh, it's going to be like 150 or something insane. No, I know.
Not that
I know.
High.
No,
10,000 yeah. gallons.
15,000?
70,000.
70.
Yeah, so pretty substantial increase in fake blood. One scene in this movie uses 50,000 gallons of fake blood. There's this, it's basically like the whole final act, it's raining blood. And
cool.
It's fucking awesome.
Reminds me, I wonder how much blood was used in the blood rave in Blade. Because, you know,
I bet that information is out there.
I've never seen Blade.
Oh my God, Blade is so fucking fun.
I need to see it. You've mentioned that before, and I need to add it to my list.
There's a blood rave
to watch. Oh my God. I'm trying to feel like I'm strong enough to get through this, which I'm pretty sure I am.
Believe in you. Also, if you got to tap out, you got to tap out.
No, no.
You got to listen to your body. You got to do what's right for you.
No, I can't. I can't tap out because I need to know what happens. I'm just so, Sammy, I'm on a constant journey of trying to understand your psychology and what happens in your brain.
Me too, Henley. Me too.
I am a student of whatever the fuck is going on in there. And I need to know everything about this movie so I can try to understand how it can make you as happy as it does.
I would love it if we got some answers in that regard as well, because I can't confidently say that it makes a lot of sense to me either.
But it makes me honestly like so happy to see you happy and gleeful. So.
Yeah, I just feel it in my body. It's just true. It's just true in my bones.
I know it is. I know it is. It's the truest thing we know.
It's true.
I'm scared. I'm like genuinely, definitely scared to watch this trailer now.
I know. Okay. And we're doing a compromise because there is a green band trailer and there's a red band trailer.
Thank you.
And I don't think you guys would handle the red band trailer, but there is also a red band teaser. So
okay,
we're gonna watch that.
I thought we were getting the green band trailer.
You said compromise, so I was like, there's another option on the table.
You guys are, yes, also not going to like this, but just know that it could be worse. That there is one trailer that is more upsetting than the one that we're about
Great.
To watch, but
appreciate
this one's that. Also pretty upsetting. So let's take a look.
Would have hated seeing the cabin like this.
Oh, is that blood? What is this?
You shouldn't have touched anything from that basement.
Kunda. Strata. Montose. Kunda.
You are all going to die tonight.
I read a passage from that book. I released some evil. Oh my God! What the fuck did you do there?
Face cutting part. The whole beginning of that trailer was like, interesting, this is red band, nothing's really happening. And I was like,
everything was just awful. Oh, this movie goes so hard. It goes so hard.
Oh my God.
From its opening shot from the, well, no, the trees were not bad. The trees were nice. But
yeah,
then
I was waiting for it to get bad.
No. I knew.
It's like the color scheme. It's the like
coloring.
Sorry, but it's like everything's the color of vomit.
It is. And I cannot fucking believe this is the movie that we're doing.
I know. It's
kidding me. Are you kidding me?
I told you. It's not going to be good.
You know what, though? The world never gives me more than I can handle. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So I feel like everything
is
fine.
What faith in the universe.
But that was one of the most disgusting trailers I've ever seen
I need you guys to believe me that there is a worse version of it. Like,
I believe you. No, I do believe you.
Because Emily, you didn't even watch the last shot.
No,
I believe was a knife slowly going through a tongue. Was that what was happening?
It's a razor. It's a razor blade. Mm-hmm. Box cutter.
Mm-hmm. Also, I was disturbed to know that the main character and I have the exact same glasses, and I was just empathizing with him a little bit too much.
Yeah. I love those glasses.
They're great, great glasses. You can think about, should I do the Terrifier thing where I just remind you about the glasses? He's wearing his glasses. No.
Or will that relate you to him a little too much?
Yeah. Okay. I see.
Doesn't help. Doesn't help. Made it worse. I was like, definitely made it worse.
Okay.
But also, Sammy, I can see what you mean because, wow, the adrenaline rush I got from just watching that trailer.
Me too. On your computer died or internet went out at the right time. I said to Emily, like, I need time for my heart rate to slow down because I was like, I felt again like I was levitating around the room while we took that little pause.
It was horrifying.
This is going to be
horrifying.
This is going to be tough. Up.
Yay. All right.
We're in for a ride.
Here we go.
Okay. So we open with a woman running through the woods, creepy, vomit colored woods. She's looking panicked, very scared. We see a couple people in pursuit of her. They're kind of, we can't totally make out who they are, but she's running for her life. And eventually one of the people catches up to her, knocks her out. She wakes up in a basement, tied up. She's crying and crying. And we see a woman thumbing through the Necronomicon and doing some sort of the ritual that the book is telling her to do. And they take a bag off this girl's head who's tied up, and she's crying, and she sees the person that took the bag off her head is her dad. And she says, "Daddy, like, I love you, Daddy. What's happening? Like, untie me." And she says, "Where's mommy?" He's crying. And he says, "Mommy's dead. You killed her." And we realize that this girl has been possessed by a demon, and she starts laughing about how she killed her mom. And he says, God, "I'm so sorry." And the woman with the Necronomicon is basically explaining that the only way, like, your daughter is gone, and the only hope you have left to save her soul is to burn her alive. And they pour gasoline at her feet and light her on fire, and she's screaming, but kind of that demonic sounding scream. We see a demon face in the flames, and the dad takes his double barrel shotgun, and he's crying, and he says, "I love you, baby," and he shoots her in the head. Titles: Evil Dead.
Sammy's thrilled. Sorry, levitating the time
of her life.
I really was already immediately in. Loved that cold open.
Ay.
So now we go back to our cabin in the woods, and we have five friends meeting at the cabin. We see David and Mia are two of the characters. They are brother and sister, and we get the sense that they are reconnecting after not having seen each other in a while, and it's a little awkward between them. She's like, "Oh, I can't believe you actually came." The other three people there are Olivia, who is Mia's friend, and Eric, also Mia's friend, and Natalie, who is David's girlfriend. So David and Natalie are a little bit more, feel like less part of the group, and Mia, Olivia, and Eric are like clearly very close friends, and maybe David used to be close with them, but isn't so much anymore. We find out that Mia is here to detox. She takes a bag of heroin and dumps it in the well out front and says, like, "I swear I'm done with this shit."
Not a great place to put your heroin.
You know, right into the drinking
just
water.
Dump it right in the water source.
I don't also know weird, that this like, is an active well. It's pretty nasty regardless.
Okay.
Done this before.
But I mean,
before.
Like, that's going to like drain to other places, right? I don't know how that works.
But it'll be diluted.
Feels
enough.
Like a mistake.
All of us have a little bit of heroin in our drinking
we
water.
We
have probably.
A little bit of heroin.
Heroin, and isn't it antidepressants that are in like the water?
Yeah. And, you know, works microplastics.
And microplastics. That's right. There's a lot in our water. That's why we all got to get our Berkeys.
Right. Berkeys.
And they also have a dog. You hate to see it.
Oh, God.
Dog's name is Grandpa. Love that.
Great
name. That's cute. I love that name. That's funny.
And David has brought a necklace for Mia that he, I don't know, some necklace that he got for her, like a necklace callback. If you recall in the original Evil Dead, there's a lot of reference to this necklace, Linda's necklace. And we find out through their talk that David and Mia's mom is dead. And probably that David was not around while she was dying. And that's maybe the source of some of the tension here. So they go inside. Mia's doing okay so far, but we anticipate she will start detoxing soon. We find out Olivia is a nurse, and so she has all of the medical equipment needed to take care of her while she's detoxing. And she tells David, you need to know that we have done this before. You've been gone for so long, and it's like great that you're back or whatever, but you've missed a lot. She's really not doing well. We've tried this detoxing before. Didn't work last time. She ran away. She OD'd and almost died. And, or no, David says that she almost died. And Eric tells him she did die. She legally died. Her heart stopped. They had to resuscitate her. Like, this is fucking serious. And so this time we're not letting her leave. Like, no matter what happens, she's going to try really hard to get out of here. Don't listen to her. She's going to be manipulative. She's going to try whatever she can to get out of here.
No.
Really excellent premise.
Yeah, that's really smart. That's really, really smart.
And so that night, sure enough, she starts detoxing. She's screaming. She's saying, like, this, it smells so bad in here. Like, how can you guys not stand the smell? They're saying you're like extra sensitive to things right now because your body is going through a lot. And but then
this is reminding me, sorry, really fast to interrupt you. The only thing that's getting me through anything right now is also, God damn it, where is it? I literally need it.
Oh my God, your tomato candle.
No, well, that is right.
Eating pad?
My tomato candle is right next to me.
Amazing.
At all times. No, Vicks VapoRub. I smell, all I do is smell Vicks VapoRub and put it all over my nose, and that's the only thing that I can smell, and I'm going to get it right now. I'm really sorry.
Okay,
I have to go get it.
Go grab it. Do what you got to do.
Okay, I'm back, and I have my Vicks VapoRub, and now I feel like I'm strong enough to get through the rest of this.
Perfect. She's prepared.
Here we go.
So they all think that she's being, not dramatic, but like that this is just a symptom of detoxing. But then we see Grandpa sniffing around, and he pulls a rug off pulls back a rug to reveal a trap door to the basement below. And the trap door is smeared with a blood stain. So this does not look good. And they open it up, go downside. As they're walking down the steps into the basement, there's one kind of rotted, soggy step that has a little bounce to it. We know that's going to come back. And they go down. There are dead cats hanging up everywhere.
Oh, no. What the fuck?
It's real bad down here. They smell like something has been burned, and we recognize that this is where the woman in the opening scene was burned. And they find on a table down there a book wrapped in trash bags and barbed wire, and Eric grabs it.
And this is crazy.
Brings it upstairs.
Like, stop it. Stop doing this.
They're freaked out. And they're saying, like, is this witchcraft? What is this? And Eric, I guess, like, thinks he's going to get answers by looking at this book. Maybe he's like, we should.
The book that is so clearly marked, don't fucking touch this book.
And literally after he uses clippers to undo the barbed wire and take off the trash bags, on one of the first pages, it says, leave this book alone. And he kind of laughs at it. And he's like, oh, my gosh, this is so silly, which is obviously we should be leaving this book alone. But
no,
he
at this
doesn't.
Stage, though, you're like, oh, you have what's coming for you, man.
Yeah,
he's going to be this stupid.
He is inviting the demons in. That he starts reading from the book the secret words. It's not Klaatu, Veratu, Niktu anymore. I can't remember what it is, but it's of that same in that vein. Mm-hmm. And as he says each word, we see those signature POV fast through the woods shots of an entity approaching. And at this moment, Mia is outside because she couldn't stand the smell. She's pacing around in the rain. It's raining and she's not doing well. And she looks in the distance and sees basically a ghost girl that I think is the corpse of the person that was burned in the beginning. But or maybe it's her in demon form. She sees something in the woods, freaks out, runs back inside and is saying, I need to leave now. I need to get out of here. They're all have decided they're not going to let her leave no matter what she says. Mm-hmm. She says, something's here. I saw something in the woods. They're like, you need to relax. Like, we're not taking you home. You're staying here. You're going through detox. Mia steals car keys, gets in the car, starts driving on her own. Is driving full speed.
They're not doing a very good job of keeping her there, I will say.
No. I guess they're a little distracted by all the dead cats and stuff.
Sure, okay.
So they're dealing with more than they anticipated. But mm-hmm. still, yes, their priority number one was to keep Mia in this house. And they did fail at that. And she is zooming down the road. Looking crazed and like she doesn't know what she's doing, but she just knows she wants to get the fuck out of there. And then in the middle of the road, she sees the same girl, swerves to avoid it, crashes into a tree and then into a lake. And the car starts sinking into the lake. She gets knocked out. Car.
This is also a good, like, why they can't take the car.
There's a second reason. Car, actually, because they drove separately. David and Natalie came separately. So, but one of the cars now is gone. She wakes up in the sinking car. Luckily, it didn't go all the way under because it's kind of swampy, not fully like a lake. So it's sinking really slowly. She gets out of the car. She's disoriented, doesn't know where she is. She's like running through the woods and again starts feeling this entity chasing her. We're seeing that those shots, she's just like running from noises and going by feeling of where she thinks the thing is and starts crawling through this thorn bush with these long vines and is getting cut all over. And we remember from the first Evil Dead that there is a tree rape scene.
Oh, no.
The tree.
And so
I hated that.
As she's crawling through these vines, they start wrapping around her arms and pulling her into like she's just like bound upright now and screaming.
Starfish,
yes. And then as that's happening, the girl walks up to her, facing her. And I think it is her. It's basically like a demonic looking girl and looks really scary and is facing her. She's screaming and screaming and screaming. This demon girl opens her mouth and this long, tarry, thorny branch thing comes out.
Ew.
No.
And wraps around Mia. And you don't really see anything, but you don't see nothing. let's not act like it's, you know, again, this movie doesn't have restraint, but yeah, we're led to believe that this is the moment of possession here. Something takes over Mia and she's screaming and then is released after this moment and like collapses onto the ground while everyone else is hearing her screams and like running. They find her, they bring her back, and Olivia injects her with sedatives. And it's like, this will knock her out for a couple hours. Like, we need to just like keep her in the room.
That's a fun little like to sedate a possessed person before you know that they're possessed.
Yeah.
And so they're back in the house trying to figure out what to do. And David hears Grandpa whimpering.
Oh, no.
And finds him under the floorboards or maybe in the thorn bush. I can't remember where he is, but he's all bloodied and he's dying. He's not going to make it. And he's trying to figure out what happened. And then he finds a bloodied hammer next to it. Maybe this is where they found Mia, because he knows from this that Mia did this.
Oh, Jesus.
And Oh wait, Mia hasn't gotten the sedative yet because they're she's in the, he comes back to confront her and she's in the shower. And we see that she's not herself anymore. She's kind of twitching in a way that lets us know that this is not right.
This ain't just detox.
He's banging on the door like, Mia, get the fuck out here. Like, I saw what you did. Like, what the fuck is going on? What's wrong with you? And we see her looking at this in the shower and she turns the temperature of the shower to fully like the hottest it can go. The furnace lights on fire. It's steaming. We see her skin start blistering and her start convulsing. And he busts the door down and finds her. Her skin's like melting off her face.
Is this his sister?
This is his sister. Yeah.
Like that.
And he, like calls the other rest of them in and is screaming and he's like, okay, now we got to take her to a hospital. Obviously this is more than we can handle. He gets her in the car. They're now in the other car. They're driving down the road. She's vomiting, like foaming at the mouth basically. And all of her burns are, Olivia says like second or third degree burns basically all over her body.
Jesus Christ. Is that even like possible from a furnace, from a shower?
I guess it's all like boiling temperature water, probably.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oof, it's not good. It looks very bad. But as they get to the turn off of the road, the streets are completely flooded. They're flooded in. There's nowhere for him to drive to. And so they go back, and as they're going back, we see Mia kind of smiling, looking happy about this. And they get back, and now Olivia gives her the tranquilizer, basically saying, like, I'll do what I can, but we just, like, need to stabilize her until the flood clears up and we can get her to a hospital, because, yeah, now this is, I don't have the equipment needed for this. And so they're in the living room talking about that. And in walks Mia carrying a shotgun. And all of them are like, what the fuck? Like, we just gave her so much sedative. She should be out for the whole night.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't work on a possessed person.
Okay. That makes sense.
They tell her, Mia, put down the gun. What are you doing? She's twitching, kind of making little demon-y growl noises. And she raises the shotgun and she shoots David in the shoulder, or like clips him, maybe not fully shoulder, but it gets him a bit to the point that he falls on the floor. And then something, the entity bursts through the front door. There's like wind blowing all through the apartment, the cabin. And like, we hear demon voices saying, one by one, we will take you. You're all going to die tonight. Or no, that's what Mia says. And so they now see that this is not just Mia detoxing. There is clearly something else going on.
Oh, I did read that book.
Does it have to do with a book?
Yes. Okay. And then also Eric has that little light bulb moment and goes back to the book and sees that there's literally a page that it set that it shows someone having boiling water poured on them as like the inciting incident of it. And he's like, oh, fuck.
Oh, shoot. So big oops over here, guys.
Oops. Shoot. Dang it. Oof. You guys,
darn egg on my face.
And so after Mia says, you're all going to die tonight, she collapses onto the floor and David tells Olivia, grab the gun before she can get up. So Olivia's like crawling towards her, looking very scared, reaches for the gun that's right next to her. Mia, of course, pops up, pins Olivia down on top of her and vomits so much on her face. And that's in the other Red Band trailer.
Oh my God.
The fluids are back full force, baby. This is so much vomit. It's very gross. But then Olivia is able to wrestle her, like throw her off into the open basement door and then like slam it closed on top of her. So now we've got Mia in the basement. She locks it. And we're hearing demon screams in the basement now. Mia freaking out. This is like fully a possessed demon, Mia. not Mia anymore. Olivia runs to the bathroom to wash the nasty puke off of her face. It's like bright orange and also oatmeal-y chunks in there, which I feel like.
Sammy, stop it. Sammy, there's literally no reason for you to get that detailed.
Well, it's just kind of similar to how it was in The Evil Dead. We did talk about oatmeal.
Okay, Sammy, that's so Sammy, unnecessary.
Stop it.
It's so unnecessary. We don't need that.
Okay, all right. But, I mean, it does get worse than that. The vomit is...
Can you avoid talking about the texture of anything and also the smell of anything for your friend who has hyperemesis?
Or just plug, you know, if you need to say it, just plug your ears.
I think
go Henley plug
textures and smells can be eliminated from the conversation, because
thank you, they're
not the worst things. So we see Olivia in the bathroom washing her face, and her reflection becomes a scary demon-y. It's like her with the lower half of the skin on her face removed, so it's just her like exposed jaw.
Jesus Christ.
It's a jump scare. She jumps back, she's terrified, reaches her face, it's normal. And she hears something in another room, like walks in there to grab something or something, like with determination, and stops still, like dead in her tracks, frozen in place in the middle of this room. We don't know what's happening. She's just like shaking and frozen. And we see that she pees herself.
Oh, no.
And then we cut away into the living room and Eric is getting concerned. He says, like, I'm going to go check on Olivia. Goes in. She's back in the bathroom. He hears her. The door is open.
Oh, no.
And he's coming in and he's like, Olivia, are you okay? And no. He sees that the mirror has been shattered, and we see her huddled in the corner of the bathroom, and he calls out to her and she turns back to face him, and she is actively cutting off the lower half of her face.
Oh,
so
my
her
God.
Complete jaw is exposed. And then she starts.
I stopped watching.
Yeah, this is in the trailer. And she, and it scares, he like starts trying to back out, and he slips on her cheek. Her like cheek is on the floor that she has cut off, and he slams his head on the toilet bowl. And is trying to get away from her. She's crawling towards him. He's crawling backwards. And she takes the shard of glass and stabs him in the chest. Looks like right in the heart. Looks like a very bad stab. He's screaming, trying to push her off. And then she also has the syringe that she had been using to give Mia whatever drugs she needed for detoxing, and she just starts stab with the syringe in his face, in his hands, just going crazy.
Ew.
And actually doesn't seem like it's doing much, and I was kind of looking closely like, okay, what is happening here? And the reason it's not doing much is because it broke off in that first stab. And we see him pull the needle out of his eye, like it's like in the lower part of his like eye orifice. Like it's not actually in his eye; it's like right below his eye, and it's this very close up shot of this needle being pulled out of his eye. So gnarly!
Oh my God.
And she's going to stab him again with a mirror shard, and he grabs the top of the toilet bowl cover and bashes her head in, completely kills her. And David and Natalie walk in seeing this horrific scene. Eric is screaming, crying. She was trying to kill me. They could see, obviously, that she was.
She's, missing half her fucking face.
Yeah.
And so they take him into the shed out back to see if there's anything to help him. And they put duct tape over his stab wound, which I think is very funny. Duct tape, you can use it for anything.
Anything at all.
So multi-purpose. And this is where Eric says, I think that book released something. I think I released something evil.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ding, ding, ding.
You sure did. And
just had to read that
book. Just had to. So now David and Eric are in the shed. He's tending to his wound. Natalie goes inside to like wash her hands, I think, because it's just so you guys know, everything is nasty, everything is filthy. This is not a nice new cabin. It's a nasty old cabin.
with dead cats and
nothing is sanitary.
Rotten steps.
Exactly. And so she goes inside, she's washing her hands in the kitchen, and she hears Mia, now sounding like regular Mia, crying in the basement, going,
"We know these demons do this.
They're so tricky."
Yes. And
they love to do this.
She's saying, "Natalie, is that you? Why am I down here? My leg hurts. What happened?"
No.
And Natalie turns and is tiptoeing towards it. And also the basement door is open. She didn't open it. It's just already open. And she can see Mia at the bottom of the steps, curled up into a little ball, crying, looking so sad and pathetic.
No.
She starts stepping down the steps towards her. Steps on a soggy step, but it doesn't break. But she's going down. And she's like, you went crazy. Like something really bad is happening, Mia. Like, I don't know. We got to get you out of here.
No, we got to keep you here forever.
And then Mia's voice turns into a demon voice.
Yes, yes, of course.
The jig is up. And Natalie turns to run to get out. And of course, now running up the stairs, breaks that rotten stair and crashes through the stairs and is holding on to the top of the trap door to try to pull herself out.
Nope.
And almost gets out. But then at the last minute, of course, Mia pulls her in and she's knocked out in the fall. Cut to black. And we come back up. Natalie waking up in this basement.
No, I don't like
absolutely
this.
Horrifying. And we see Demon Mia in the darkness. You just see her eyes kind of catching the light, looking very scary, slowly approaching Natalie. And she has that box cutter. And she says to Natalie, "I can smell your filthy soul." Because remember, they like to say funny things. So that's something that I'd like to try to get across, is that I laughed a lot in this movie. It's probably not going to sound that funny, but I was really delighted by that. They kept a lot of the silliness of Mia's having a great time. Or not Mia, but the demon.
Sure.
And she, Natalie's able to get the box cutter away. But then Mia gets it back. And Mia, instead of stabbing Natalie with it, goes to lick it and licks
ew,
it.
Ew, ew, ew.
So that it cuts her tongue straight in half. A good close up of that.
No.
And then she says, "Kiss me, you dirty cunt." And she pushes her face onto Natalie's face, starts making out with her. There's blood coming out of the sides. And at that moment, David busts in and grabs Natalie and pulls her out of there. And Mia says up to David, "Why don't you come down here so I can suck your cock, pretty boy?" And he says, "Mia," he's clutching his pearls, can't believe Mia would do this. And she says, "Mia's not here, you fucking idiot. Don't you get it? Your little sister is being raped in hell." Pretty gnarly line.
Oh my God.
Ooh, baby. Oh, and so he slams that basement door, and now we're adding chains on top of it. The little lock latch is not enough. We're hammering on chains. We're reinforcing this door. We are keeping Mia down here.
Well, it does seem like the exchange of fluids is what gets you. So.
Oh, and yes. And also in that exchange, she also bit Natalie.
Oh, my God. Natalie's dunzo bunzo.
So David finds Eric trying to burn the book. The book does not burn. Eric is
not. Too late.
Eric. But Eric's since it doesn't burn, he's reading through it more, seeing maybe you can find out if there's anything they can do. And he is able to figure out that it says once the demon or whatever in this book has 5 souls, the abomination will rise from hell. And he also learns that the only way they can save Mia's soul is to kill her, that there's no saving her. It's basically the best you can do is save her soul, because otherwise her soul will be in hell for eternity. And the 3 ways we can save her soul are to bury her alive, to chop her up into pieces or to burn her. So as David and Eric are looking through the
burning her does seem like the best option.
Yeah, we can see why the opening scene chose the third option.
Yeah.
And so David and Eric are having that conversation. Meanwhile, Natalie is in the kitchen again, tending to her bite wound. And oh my God, it's so gross. I'll skip some of that.
Okay. Thank you.
But we see that her hand is looking like basically the flesh is rotting at a very fast pace and it's moving up her arm. It's like it's spreading quickly.
Oh no.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh no.
She is in eye line of Mia. So Mia's pressed up the basement door as far as the chains will allow it so she can peek up and she's like giggling. No. She's like and watching it. And we see Natalie eyeing what are the electrical like an electrical knife, those things that you use to carve a turkey.
They use like carved turkeys.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's one of those. And she grabs it. She's looking at her arm. Her arm is like decaying in real time. And Mia, demon Mia,
Emily does not like this.
Yeah, this is going to be really tough for you.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And Mia Mia says, "Don't you do it, you little bitch. Don't cut it off.
Sammy."
And she takes it and she starts cutting her own arm off. She's screaming and spraying blood. This is some of the fake blood.
So bad.
And Mia's going, no.
It's so bad.
We cut away back to David and Eric, and then they re-enter the cabin and they find Natalie. Ooh, this shot is so bad. Her arm is dangling off with just like one thread of skin, like holding it on, and it snaps like as they walk in. So they see her arm like fall to the ground. And she's losing, obviously, a lot of blood. And she said, "I had to do it, and I feel much better now."
Okay. She's a demon.
And Mia's just laughing in the basement. And again, they grab that duct tape, and they start duct taping her arm up.
They're like, that'll work. Like, don't worry, we got you.
David is saying, everything's going to be fine. In what world, David? No.
Everything's already not fine at all. Nothing will ever be fine again.
So they tape her up, and Eric and David, she's again like losing a lot of blood, seemingly losing consciousness, but they tend to her as best as they can, and they are trying to figure out the rest of their plan. What are they going to do? Like, we need to burn Mia. And David's saying, "I can't do it. I can't do that." And Eric says something like, I have an idea. Why don't you run away like you always do? Because, of course, there's built up resentments in this friend group that are the nice backdrop to this story. And as they're arguing, we hear pew, pew. And Eric starts getting shot with a nail gun, and we see Natalie walking in, one armed, but the other arm holding the nail gun, just shooting at them. And she shoots him so many times and they're long. These are like 4-inch nails. They're going all the way through his arm, like going in one side, out the other, to the point where she is able to nail his arms to his chest. So he's like becoming immobile. It's going through so deep. Again, Mia, this is in the same room that Mia's in. She's loving this, absolutely loving it. Natalie has shot Eric so many times, and then David tackles her to the ground and is able to like kick the nail gun away and I think knocks her out, and they don't pay close enough attention to her. They both, because she's shot him a few times as well, so they both kind of start slowly pulling some nails out of some key places. And they turn around, and Natalie is gone. And Eric says to David, "Grab the shotgun before she can." So he's running to go grab the shotgun, but before he gets there, Natalie comes out now with the crowbar, and she starts just beating the fucking shit out of David. A lot of great weapons of choice here. A nail gun is interesting. I don't know that I've considered it before.
No, especially when you think about being able to like nail someone to things or to themselves. Pretty good.
And a crowbar but is not dissimilar.
It'll probably take a long time to kill somebody with it.
True. I mean, unless
you really get them like in the middle of the head. Yeah. Yeah.
But the nice thing about it is that there's so many, you get so many shots.
Right. I wonder how many rounds you get of a nail gun. Probably a lot.
So you could probably stand to have pretty bad aim and still just by the sheer volume.
You get a lot of chances.
Still probably hit some meaningful places. and then a crowbar is not dissimilar from a fire poker, which is my other weapon of choice. Right. So I could get into a crowbar for sure.
Yeah.
She is beating the shit out of him with this crowbar. And then Eric gets the nail gun and is shooting her with the nail gun. But she seems somewhat immune to nails. Yeah. So she's not, she doesn't like feel pain in the way that they do. She's a demon now. And so she just turns her attention to him, starts walking at him with the crowbar, raises it up real slow. He puts his hand to block her. The crowbar comes down in between ring and middle finger and hot dog slices his
hand. Another hot dog style situation.
We are seeing I'm seeing too much of that lately.
Yeah.
A lot of mid hand slices.
Yeah.
And no thanks.
Yeah, it's getting too popular. Now we got to switch it up, folks.
They did it here. Yep. Spoiler alert, a little moment in John Wick where I'm like, okay, let's keep that hand. Let's move on to the hand.
Yep. Yeah, we don't need to see all that.
We get it.
She raises the crow. He's obviously screaming in pain and she raises the crowbar again, about to hit. I think she does hit him in the head a few times. Eric is absolutely like, he has taken so many fucking deadly beatings at this point. He is not well, but she's raising up. It looks like about to deliver the final blow and boom, David shoots her other arm all the way off. So now she is missing both arms. And then she turns back to David, turns into regular Natalie, is crying, bleeding out. Saying, baby, why are you hurting me? Why did you do this to me? And falls down in his lap and seemingly dies from blood loss.
Seemingly?
I mean, I think, she dies. Which is, interesting. We didn't see any... The rules of what
so
kills
demon,
them is interesting.
Yeah, I'm confused by that, too. Because it's blood loss here, but I thought they had to be... There's those specific things, being burned... Or buried alive.
Maybe that's just what they have to do to save their soul. So I guess they're letting
Natalie's
her soul rot in hell forever.
Yeah, Natalie's soul's fucked.
Yeah.
That's not very nice.
So now it's just Eric and David, and they're going out to the... There is one car left, remember? So they're going out to the car, and Eric is also losing a lot of blood, and David's saying, don't die on me, don't die on me. And he says, dying doesn't sound too bad right now. Like, he is in so much pain. And he says, but I don't want to become the devil's bitch. And David says, I'm going to do what I have to do. Like, don't worry, I'm going to do it. And so he goes back inside and he's pouring gasoline everywhere. And then he hears from the basement Mia singing a song that seems to pluck at his heartstrings, something perhaps from their childhood.
Okay, that's enough.
And he has a moment of pause. He's still, this is really hard for him. He's struggling to do it. And then he has this light bulb moment where it's clear he has some sort of idea. We don't know what. And he just starts scrounging around the house and he gets like some electrical equipment, the syringes and some tools. And he looks like he's got a plan. We don't know what it is. And he starts digging a grave. Then he opens up that basement and goes down. It's flooding down there too, because it's been raining nonstop. And so he's looking around. It's obviously very dark and gross. And he's looking for Mia, and she pops out of a corner and attacks him with the box cutter and is drowning him. The water's deep enough that she gets on top of him and like is strangling him underwater, drowning him. We're seeing, it looks like he's about to die. And then Eric comes in with the crowbar and knocks out Mia again, knocks her down. But as he does, she like turned around at the last second too with the box cutter and like slices his stomach, stabs him real deep in the stomach.
Man, oh man.
But so David is alive, but this stab in the stomach was the final blow for Eric, and it's clear now that Eric is dying, and David and Eric have a nice moment where he kind of holds him as he dies and then lowers him into the water. And
oh boy.
Then picks up Mia, because Mia's knocked out as well. And carries her out, tosses her in that grave. She has a plastic bag over her head, and he's burying her, throwing dirt onto her body, and she wakes up acting like regular Mia. It's going, David, what are you doing? I can't breathe in this. Are you crazy? Like, what's wrong?
I can't breathe.
He's like, I'm sorry, like I have to do this. And he's burying her, and she goes, why do you hate me, David? Okay, I know that you do.
Here we go.
You left me all alone with a sick mother. I was just a kid. Why did you do that, David? Like, I had to lie to her for you every time you said you'd come and visit. Like, I knew you weren't going to, and I would act like you did. And I saw her heart break each time. And mother hates you now. I know that she does. And she's waiting for you in hell. And
Jesus Christ.
Tosses the last scoop of dirt onto her face, completely burying her. And he's sobbing and saying, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Mia. I should have been there. I should have been there for you. And stays on top of the grave for long enough for her to, we hear her heartbeat stop, which again is like, how did he hear that? And also, what are the rules of,
again, like not you could sure have told me that
she was already dead.
And also, David just wasn't around because he didn't feel like it. Like, we never have any reason for why he's,
I think, just like
abandoned them.
Not wanting to be there and not being mature enough to know that he had, just like an escape, regardless of the extra burden that put on Mia, just like saving himself type of thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And at this point, I'm thinking, oh, we've got our final boy, because this is Evil Dead.
Our final boy.
And Ash is our final boy in Evil Dead. And a final boy, I also love. It can be great when done right. If we've got Green Room's got a final boy. I love a final boy.
Green Room. I forgot about Green Room.
So we hear her heartbeat stop, and then he starts digging her back up, and we see the thing that he was building was like a DIY defibrillator. I don't know what his job is that he knows how to do that. But he does. He gets her out, and he sticks the syringes in her chest and like turns on the little charge thing, and it's like clear and doesn't seem to be working. It seems like another defeat, and he starts walking away. He thinks she looks really dead. So he's like, she's at peace now, at least. Like, at least I've saved her soul. If my little trick to save her life didn't work, at least I saved her soul. He's walking away, and then he hears David. And we turn back, and she's standing up, and I'm thinking this is obviously still Demon Mia. It's not. It's regular Mia.
What?
This is regular.
He got around
it? Fucking tricked the devil, man. He did it.
He beat a demon?
He beat the demon.
It's unheard of.
This is how you beat the devil in, or at least death, in Final Destination, too, right? You'd be like, just die for a second.
Exactly.
Oh,
it's a neat trick. It's a neat trick.
It's a neat trick.
That's super neat. That's a neat way to end the movie. Although it's not over yet, so I don't know what happens.
It's not over yet, but... I kind of was thinking this must be the end, and then it gets crazy again. So they're thinking that they've done it. This is like the two of them left, everybody else dead. They're like about to leave, and then he goes back into the house to go get the car keys, I think. And he sees a photo on the wall of all five of them, like back in happier times when they were all friends. And he's looking at it all nostalgically and with sorrow in his eyes, because now three of them are dead. And As he's having this moment, he is stabbed in the neck by Eric, who is now a demon and used the wire cutters.
Oh, man.
Stabbed right in that neck. And Mia sees this happen from outside and, like, runs in to try to save him. She's like, David. And he runs to the door and, like, won't let her in. He gives her the keys. He's like, go, like, get out of here, and pushes her out, locks the door, and lights the place on fire because it's soaked in gasoline. Mia is outside crying, freaking out, like trying to get in, but obviously now can't. And the house burns. She watches the whole house burn down.
Okay.
Right before the house burned down, though, Eric says to David as he's like coming for him, he says, "It's coming."
I was going to say, got five souls, even though Mia's back.
Yeah, and also we need that 50,000
gallons of blood. It ain't happening yet.
We've only used 20,000 so far. Not even half. After the house burns down, Mia's crying outside. She finds the necklace that David gave her in the beginning. It's very, even more meaningful now. We love this necklace.
We love this necklace.
And so as she's looking at the necklace in her hand, a drop of blood falls into her palm, and she looks up and it starts pouring blood rain, which is not a great sign if we think that we've beaten the demon.
Nope.
Yeah, it feels like a pretty clear fact to the contrary.
Yeah.
And sure enough, just in front of her, the ground splits open and the abomination starts rising from hell. Looks like just a lady.
A scary lady.
But a demon lady. Yeah, a lady nonetheless. Not like a big monster. And Mia's running from it and runs back into that thorn bush. Mm. She's still, the abomination is in pursuit and continues chasing her into the tool shed. She closes the door in the tool shed. She's hiding in there and she finds a chainsaw, Ash's weapon of choice. And there's a moment that I just want to call out just because it felt very The Evil Dead-y, so she's trying to fire up the chainsaw. It's not going. She sees like it's out of the gas or whatever that needs. And she sees the gasoline on a shelf in the tool shed above her, like four shelves up. And she elbows the shelves so that it knocks it down and she catches it in her hand. And something about that moment just felt very Ash-esque.
Yes. And also it all being coordinated and he's like kind of star of the show and can like figure it all out.
Yeah. It's very fun. And so she's filling up that chainsaw with gasoline now, and the abomination's coming in, and she kind of scoots backwards into this crawl space that's basically between two of the wood walls, and the abomination grabs like a sword or machete type thing and is just stabbing through the wood, and it's very scary, and she's screaming, and it stabs, like, slices her knee and then her arm, and so she's like getting stabbed and like trying to avoid the machete as it's stabbing through the walls. How the fuck is she gonna get out of this one? And then she just like elbows through, it's all, you know, soggy old wood, so she just elbows her way through the exterior wall and like crawls out of the crawl space with the chainsaw in hand still, and crawls over to the car and crawls under it. And as the abomination walks towards it, she fires up that chainsaw and tries to chainsaw off both of her feet, gets one of them off, but not the other one.
Just one.
Just one. Abomination now falls down. Now they're both crawling around, a little crawl chase. Oh. And so now Mia's crawling out from under the car, but the abomination lifts up the car like she's going to tilt it over on top of Mia, and Mia goes as fast as she can, tries to get under it, almost gets out from under it, but it lands on her hand. So now her hand is pinned underneath the car. She's screaming, desperately pulling at her hand, trying to get it out. And it's like, we see the skin like
No.
Cutting apart, like, there's only one way she's getting her hand out of here is the harsh reality.
Why?
And the abomination is now crawling around.
This is so awful. I really wish it had ended with a happy ending, Mia being back.
I wish.
And it's now also like flooding with blood. Like they're in like soppy blood squishy ground.
Soppy blood squishy.
It's like in The Descent almost. She's like soaked in blood. So like everything is red now. And so the abomination's crawling up to her. He's about to get her. And she's like, the only way I'm going to get away is if I fucking rip my hand off. She can't reach the chainsaw either. The chainsaw fell like just out of her reach. And so her only chance is to literally rip her hand off. And she does.
Oh, no.
And it is really gnarly. You see that? You see that friggin' Radius and Olna.
Oh my God.
I've never seen that in a horror movie before, where it's like the skin comes off first and you just see those two bones, and then she breaks those bones to get her full hand out. Gnarly. Fucking.
Oh my God.
And she grabs that chainsaw. Now she's missing a hand, just like Ash.
Uh-huh.
Yep,
and Abomination says, "I'll feast on your soul." And she shoves her cut off hand into the handle of the chainsaw and says, "Feast on this, bitch." Takes the chainsaw, shoves it into her face, which I really liked. So not like a slice from above and down. She just went straight in the center of the face, like through her face vertically, hot dog style, and cuts her in half hot dog style. Blood is spraying everywhere. 50,000 gallons. You're seeing it on screen. It's a ridiculous amount of blood spraying from her. She's, of course, screaming with blood, drenched in blood. Cuts her in half hot dog style. And
oh my God.
And Abomination slumps onto the ground, dead, and starts sinking into soppy blood ground, going back into the earth. Mia says, "Go back to hell, bitch." Blood rain stops.
Jesus Christ.
Sun is rising.
Wow.
She finds her necklace once again, looks at that necklace, and starts making her way down the road. And we see her walk out of sight, and we cut back to seeing the Necronomicon just on the ground because it doesn't burn, and it's open, and then all the pages flutter like, and it slams closed. End of the movie.
What the fuck?
And then post-credits, there's just one little post-credit scene, and it's Bruce Campbell turning to the side and says, "Groovy."
Okay.
Because I believe this was before Ash versus the Evil Dead, and they're in the same universe. So I think there were even plans to have Jane Levy and Bruce Campbell be in the same another movie That's together, fun. Which would be great. But that never happened. But they're acknowledging each other here.
Okay, Sammy, that was too much. It was just too much.
I'm curious though, so as you're saying about my own psychology, like the bloodlust is real.
It's like you're thirsting for it. No, I do think that there's something like there was something like just such an adrenaline rush about it. I mean, it really is like a very scary roller coaster.
I will say, it does show me that I have come a long way since the first Evil Dead. Like, I didn't like any of that, but I'm going to be able to go about my day after this, you know?
Yeah, that is progress.
You know, yeah, I'm not mad at you, and I'm not going to have a ruined day as a result.
That's
of this
huge
experience.
That is, wow. Growth. Progress. And the freaking reason for the pod.
The reason for the pod. That Necronomicon is a real nasty piece of work, huh?
Real nasty piece of work.
That is a bad book. And it brings up bad, bad demons. They're nasty and mean and gross. And I hate them.
But I'm excited for the new one now because I don't know this. It was a lot more fun than I expected. I thought it was just going to be all kind of like a dark, nasty tone. And it's like it is having fun in a way that allows me to have fun. And so I think Evil Dead Rise will continue with, which makes sense because Evil Dead is such a fun, silly franchise. And it would be such a bummer to ignore that from the original films, that like a huge part of them is how silly and fun they are.
When does Evil Dead Rise come out? Is it soon?
Next month. Yeah, it comes out in April.
Oh boy.
We're going to have to go through this all over again, Emily, before we know it.
Before
we know it, it's happening again.
With a cheese grater next time.
No!
Okay,
that was huge.
That was huge.
That was the most energy I've...
Yeah.
Yeah, how you expended? Doing
now? Expended in 5 weeks. So I am going to sleep well tonight, maybe.
Well, the good news is we all have Succession to look forward to.
Oh, my freaking God.
A little palate cleanser for us.
Cleanse our palates.
Yeah, wipe that slate clean, baby.
And yeah, once again, if you want to check out our Succession discussion podcast, that's on our Patreon.
The Succession Discussion Weekly.
That's right.
S-D-W.
So yeah, and voices, demon voice.
Got a demon voice.
Man, I fucking loved this movie. I like almost wanted to watch it again the next night.
Wowee.
Jesus Christ. Nothing. So thank you, listeners, for requesting it so frequently, enough that it was on my radar to finally watch it. And yeah, we will be covering the new one, and I will be covering it more enthusiastically than anticipated. So that's great news for everybody, except for maybe you two. But I look forward to it.
I freakishly do too. I mean, I this do is, too. I feel
whatever.
I've made my choices. Even though it was really hard, I feel more alive than I have in such a long time.
That's what it is. It's like it makes me feel so alive.
Alive.
I'm absolutely buzzing.
Oh my God.
Oh man. Okay. We love you guys a lot. So, from all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch, goodbye. We'll feast on your soul.
Thank you, my friends, for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you had fun hanging with us, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at TSDW Podcast. And if you're interested in things like bonus episodes, video trailer reactions, and other cool content, head on over to patreon.com/TSDW Podcast. All right. We love you all forever and ever, starting a while ago and continuing into eternity. Adios.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.